Raymond Barber is coming to preach in just a moment. He and his wife, Mary Helen, are here. And, of course, all of our people know how we love these dear ones. And they're with us often, and we like it that way. I want you to pray for Dr. Barber as he comes to preach in just a moment. Longtime pastor of the Worth Baptist Church, known around the world for his preaching and his strong stand for the Lord. And may God touch him in a special way as he speaks to us in this hour. Just before he comes, Carrie's going to sing. You pray for her, please. How great thou art.
This mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of things in heaven, of things in earth, of things under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, "Ye men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you're too superstitious. For as I passed by and beheld your devotion, I found an altar with this inscription, 'To the unknown God, whom therefore ye ignorantly worship. Him declare I unto you, God that made the world and all things therein, seeing he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands, as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things, and hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on the face of all the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation, that they should seek the Lord, if haply they may feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as certain also of your own poets have said, for we are his offspring. For as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto gold or silver or stone, craven by man, by art and man's device. The times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent, because he hath appointed a day in the which he shall judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, in that he hath raised him from the dead. The earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein, for he hath founded it upon the seas and established it upon the floods. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Or who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully, he shall receive the blessing of the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is the generation of them that seek thee, that seek thy face, O Jacob. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be lifted up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in." Amen. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be lifted up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. Well, the King of glory is his name. The King of glory, his title of fame. The King of glory, he ransomed me. The King of glory, his face I'll see. The King of glory, the sinner's friend. The King of glory is coming again. Coming again, coming again. The King of glory is coming again. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I feel better about the whole thing. Amen. What a wonderful time to be together in God's house. Dr. John Reynolds, we appreciate that challenging message this morning earlier. And I know that God is in this place. I felt his presence. I felt the environment of prayer and concern and burden as I entered into the sanctuary. Thank God for a praying people supporting your pastor in this great endeavor. And I know God's going to bless it, and I know that you'll be happy that you were a part of it. This isn't just another conference. This is a coming together of God's people for a specific purpose. As Dr. Reynolds said earlier, to forget those things that are behind and to move forward, for the best is yet to come. Well, I told you when I was here 100 years ago, that one of my favorite beatitudes is, "Blessed is the preacher that can get airborne without using too much runway." So I've used enough runway. Open your Bible. Oh, by the way, did I tell you When we open the Bible opens the mind of God. Let's see what God's thinking about in the book of 1 Samuel, chapter number 9. As you're finding your place in 1 Samuel, chapter 9, I should remind you, as sure as night follows day and day follows night, God still lives and the Bible is right. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God which liveth and abideth forever. All flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. And it's settled right here in this blessed book that we call the Bible. And I'm going to read 1 Samuel chapter 9, verse number 27 is my text today. And I shall read that after we pray together. Heavenly Father, we do thank thee for the wonderful book that we know as the Bible. We know there's been a price paid to bring it to us in our own language. And I pray throughout this entire conference that the Word of God would go forth in a mighty and marvelous and matchless way to convict hearts, to bring us together. We have a common goal. We have a common cause. And we pray that we'd not lose sight of it as we move forward. In these days, in Jesus' name I pray with thanksgiving. Amen. 1 Samuel chapter 9 and verse 27. And as they were going down to the end of the city, Samuel said to Saul, "Bid thy servant pass on before us." And he passed on. "But stand thou still a while, that I may show thee the word of God." I want you to underscore in your mind, if not in your Bible, that I may show thee the Word of God, because that's what I'm going to be preaching to you about this morning. The year 2011 is the year of the Bible for Christians all around the world. Lovers and students of the Word of God will commemorate the 400th anniversary of the King James Bible. The King James Version of the Bible is considered by many scholars as the most noble prose in all the English language. We have experienced 400 years of inspired, infallible, inerrant truth from the mind of God, recorded by men of God who were moved by the Holy Spirit to write this book. Remember, the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. By the way, the Bible does not need to be rewritten. It needs to be reread. You see, God got it right the first time. You cannot improve on that which is perfect. And the Bible is 100% right 100% of the time. Trying to improve on the veracity or authenticity of the Scripture is like trying to make water wet or snow white or fire hot. What an awesome God we serve. The God of the creation, the God of the covenant, the God of the consummation of all things, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the God of all grace and mercy and peace and comfort and kindness and compassion and love and life and light and liberty and power and majesty and dominion and goodness and greatness, the God of judgment and justice, the God of all eternality, hallowed be his name in all the earth. What an awesome book we read. A wise man once said, I don't remember who it was, it may have been me. Some books inform, some books reform, only the Bible can transform. Well, you see, ladies and gentlemen, while all other books become obsolete, the Word of God remains absolute. For God, listen, God writes with a pen that never blots. He speaks with a tongue that never slips. He acts with a hand that never fails. I remember when I left my home in Danville, Virginia, more than 60 years ago, to travel to Fort Worth, Texas, to enroll in the Bible Baptist Seminary under the sponsorship of Dr. J. Frank Norris. My dad put this Bible in my hand, and he asked me to promise him that I'd read a portion of it every day. In the fly leaf of the Bible was written, I recognize this book as God's holy word and promise to read a portion of it each day and live according to its teachings the best that I can. And I signed my name to it. And ladies and gentlemen, for more than six decades, this book, this Bible, has been my companion. We've traveled together, my Bible and I, in all kinds of weather, with smile or with sigh, in sunshine or shadow, in tempest or calm, thy friendship unchanging, my lamp and my psalm. We've traveled together, my Bible and I, when life had grown weary and even death was nigh. But all through the midst of darkness and wrong, I have found thee a solace, a prayer, or a song. So now who shall part us, my Bible and I? Shall isms or schisms or new lights who try? Shall shatter for substance or stone for good bread? Supplant thy sound wisdom? Give folly instead? Oh no, my dear Bible, exponent of light. Thou sword of the Spirit, put error to flight. And still through life's journey, until my last sigh, we'll travel together, my Bible and I. John Greenleaf Whittier wrote, we search the world for truth. We call the good, the true, the beautiful from graven stone and written scroll and all old flower fields of the soul and weary seekers of the best. We come home laden from our quest to find that all the sages said is in the book our mothers read. Ladies and gentlemen, you know that Baptists and Bibles go together. We're wedded, we're bonded, we're cemented. And I want to tell you right up front that the Bible is at the heart of truth, friendship, and world evangelism. This conference, from center to circumference, is laced with undeniable truths from God's holy book. And I can assure you that every preacher on this program believes in the inerrancy, the inspiration, the infallibility of this word. And they embrace the great Christian faith, the doctrines of the Bible, as revealed in the Bible in the King James Version, preserved for us in our language. We have no room for discord. We have no room for division. We have no room for defamation. We are not divided. All one body we. One in faith, one in hope, one in charity. The Bible is the best-selling, most fascinating, most interesting, most informative, most widely read book in all the world. It's already ahead of the next bestseller off the press. I give you a proven formula for Bible study. I hope you'll jot this down. Read it through. Take it in. Write it down. Work it out. And pass it on. The reason some people don't read the Bible is it cramps their lifestyle. I need to tell you that the Bible does not contradict itself. It contradicts those who read it with a mindset to doubt it. Mr. Spurgeon said, it's a crime to add to it. It is treason to alter it. It is a felony to take away from it. For you see, within this ample volume lies the mystery of mysteries. Happiest they of human race, to whom their God hath given grace to read, to fear, to lift the force, to read, to fear, to hope, to lift the latch, to force the way. But better had they ne'er been born than read to doubt or read to scorn. The Bible has lifted more spirits, dried more eyes, calmed more fears, generated more hope, blessed more hearts, changed more lives, and comforted more souls than all the books in the world combined. Search the works of Shakespeare. You will not find in Shakespeare these comforting words. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Search the works of Longfellow. You will not find these assuring words. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Search Homer and Keats and Shelley and all of the poets, Johnson and Pope and Byron and all the rest, and you will not find these words. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. You see, ladies and gentlemen, these powerful, penetrating, pulsating words of comfort are found only in this blessed old book that we call the Bible. The Bible has sailed every ocean, crossed every desert, climbed every mountain, and encircled the globe with a message of salvation through the shed blood of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Unto him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood and made us kings and priests, unto him be glory forever and forever. A tragedy of all tragedies. Many churches, schools, religious institutions have relegated the Bible to a secondary place in their program. Bring back the Bible, O ye sons of men. Bring back the Bible and begin again. Bring back the Bible, shout it far and wide. Bring back the Bible and wait for the tide. Bring back the Bible, let it be heard. Bring back the Bible, God's holy word. I'm like the little girl who said reading the Bible is like squeezing an orange. The more I squeeze it, the more I get out of it. I should tell you that a chapter a day will keep the devil away. A Bible that's coming apart usually belongs to someone who isn't. A Bible in the hand is worth a dozen in the trunk. And I need to tell you that the devil is not afraid of a Bible with dust on it. And just because it's dusty on the outside doesn't mean it's dry on the inside. And I tell you that it is not a bedtime lullaby to rock you to sleep. It's marching orders to send you off to war. What did Jesus say about it? Here I go quoting Jesus. I love to quote Jesus. Jesus said in Matthew 4:4, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Father. Listen, on one occasion, Jesus was surrounded by huge multitude. Someone made his way up to Jesus and said to him, thy mother and thy brethren are without desiring to see you. And Jesus answered, as he looked over that mixed multitude, my mother and my brethren are these who hear the word of God and do it. Open the Bible, find him there. Open the Bible, don't despair. Open the Bible, see his face. Open the Bible, trust his grace. Open the Bible, look clearly above. Open the Bible and share God's love. Not only is the Bible inspired, infallible, inerrant, irrefutable, it is indestructible. Many attempts have been made to destroy this wonderful book. Men have burned it and botched it and buried it and belittled it and banished it and blasphemed it. They've demeaned it, diluted it, and defamed it. They've dissected it, despised it, and denied it. They've renounced it, rejected it, and repudiated it. They've perverted it, and purloined it, and prostituted it, but they've never been able to destroy it. Queen Mary, known as Bloody Mary, burned over 300 people at the stake, including those three great divines, Cranmer, Latimer, and Ridley. She also gathered all the Bibles in her kingdom and burned them. But you know what? I have one in my hand. And I have 101 Bibles in my home. Some people have 101 Dalmatians. I have 101 Bibles. I love the Bible. I really do. I love the Bible. How about you? I love the Bible. I read it each day. I love the Bible. It guides my way. I love the Bible hidden in my heart. I love the Bible, and we shall never part. Let me show you the prominence of the Word of God. Psalm 138 in verse 2, "Thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name." George Washington said, "It is impossible to govern the world without God and the Bible." Patrick Henry said, "Here is a book that's worth more than all of the books ever printed." Daniel Webster said, "The Bible fits a man for life and prepares him for death." William Lyon Phelps, one time professor of Yale University, said, "I believe in a college education, but a knowledge of the Bible without a college education is more valuable than a college education without a knowledge of the Bible." We should be reminded that 70 million have been martyred since the days of Jesus, or most of them, over this book. 300 a day somewhere in the world are being martyred because of this book. More were martyred in the 20th century than the first 19 centuries combined. You see, God is bringing to a close this age to show us, through all the things that are happening prophesied in His Word, that Jesus is coming soon. When I was a student in the Bible Baptist Seminary, as I said, more than 60 years ago, I sat at the feet of J. Frank Norris, one of the most famous preachers of the 20th century, and certainly a pioneer in the fundamental Baptist movement of today. And he said to us, and I quote, "I have here a book, the only book, God's book. Gentlemen," he said, "stand on this and challenge the world. This is the only book that can move the world toward God. This is the only book that gives us a plain story of salvation. Thank God for the Bible. It tells me who I am. Thank God for the Bible. It tells me where I'm bound. Thank God for the Bible. It makes the way so plain. Thank God for the Bible. It exalts the Savior's name." Let me show you the permanence of the Word of God. Just how permanent is the Bible? Well, the psalmist said in 118:89, "Forever." How long is forever? "Forever, forever, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven." When the Alps have melted and all the oceans have run dry, all the stars have fallen out of their sockets, the sun has been turned into darkness and the moon into blood, and life on earth and time on earth is no more, the Bible will still be the living word of the living God. For the Bible stands like a rock undaunted amid the raging storms of time. Its pages burn with the truth eternal, and they glow with the light sublime. The Bible stands every test we give it, for its author is divine. By grace alone I expect to live it and prove it and make it mine. The Bible stands though the hills may tumble. It will firmly stand when the earth shall crumble. I'll plant my feet on its firm foundation, for the Bible stands. The Bible has survived the pen of all its critics. The Bible has endured the attacks of the atheist. The Bible has outlived its enemies. The Bible has outsold all of its competitors. The Bible is as old as time and new as tomorrow. I admonish you to read it to be wise, believe it to be saved, and practice it to be holy. The Bible is authentic, it's authoritative, it's accurate. It is so permanent that time cannot erase it. Circumstances cannot change it. Error cannot erode it. And the devil cannot destroy it. The Bible is the only book on earth that God has unreservedly, unhesitatingly, unqualifiedly, unequivocally committed himself to honor, uphold, defend, purify, and preserve. The psalmist said in 12, 6, and 7, the words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forward. I'm going to quote Jesus again. I love to quote Jesus. You know, he's the greatest authority the world has ever known. When you quote Jesus Christ, you never have to worry about being misquoted or misunderstood. And here's what Jesus said in John 10, 35. The scripture cannot be broken. And in Luke 21, 33, Jesus said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. I show you now the performance of the word of God. The word of God performs by serving as the divine agent in the salvation of all mankind. Peter wrote it in 1 Peter 1, 23. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. I hasten to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, salvation is not in a catechism. It is not in a creed or a covenant or a charter or a code or a council or a church. Salvation is in a person. Amen. And only in a person. And only in one person, and that person is Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God for sinners slain. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Let the sinner go to the doctor. All he can ever hope to be is a healthy sinner. Let the sinner go to the banker. All he can ever hope to be is a wealthy sinner. Let the sinner go to the philosopher. All he can ever hope to be is a philosophical sinner. Let the sinner go to the psychiatrist. All he could ever hope to be is an adjusted sinner. Let the sinner go to the scientist. All he can ever hope to be is a scientific sinner. Let the sinner go to the educator. All he can ever hope to be is an educated sinner. But let the sinner go to Jesus. And he becomes a saved sinner, wafted on the rolling tide. Jesus saves. Jesus saves. Tell to sinners far and wide. Jesus saves. Jesus saves.